to you the word of God, 1 John chapters 1, verses 1 and 2, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you so you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the Lord. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, speak comfort to our hearts. We look at Your Word, examine Jonathan's life, and be encouraged. May we see our own need, the Savior whom God calls. In the name of our Lord, we ask. I've known Jonathan for many years. Back to the summer of 1991. Jonathan was very active in the Boardwalk Chapel. He knew I was interested in Christian apologetics, so he'd like to pick my brain a lot and just talk to me about a lot of things. And over the years, through different opportunities, speaking about the scriptures. As he struggled with things, I had opportunities to counsel him, to talk to him. Of all the things that could be said about Jonathan, the one thing I think he said with absolute certainty was this: Jonathan was a Christian. It was a question about where Jonathan stood with the Lord. Jonathan was a Christian. He had been born again by the Holy Spirit. He was united to Christ. He showed him his love. He showed him how he cared for the people. Jonathan, being united to Christ, was made a taker of all the things that love him. All the things that come from being united to Christ. And justification, adoption, sanctification. Jonathan was a Christian man. As a Christian, Jonathan was called not to sin, to live a life of obedience to the Lord. That's what the passage says here. John writes, he says, "My little children, you Christians, I write so that you might not sin. We who are saved by grace do not see grace as something that is cheap to be trampled on. We don't go through our lives saying, well, since Jesus will forgive me, I can live whatever I want." And Jonathan was quite scrupulous about how he lived. John made a real effort to try to obey the law of God. Sometimes, with John's obsessiveness at times, it really almost drove him to despair. I mean, he was almost Luther-like in his looking at the law and it driving him, well, if this was wrong, well, then what about this, and what about this, and what about this? Because John recognized the seriousness of his calling as a Christian man to live by the Word of God. And yet, as a Christian, Jonathan did sin in violating the law of God by taking his own life. This is difficult for many of us. We seem to believe that Christians could obviously sin. We know that if we're Christians, we still sin. But they can't sin of that magnitude. They could maybe have little sins. Doing little things. Maybe losing your temper once in a while. Maybe watching something you shouldn't watch. Maybe, fudging on your income taxes or something like that. Driving above the speed limit. But not something like this. This is one of the big ten. This is clear. Thou shalt not kill. And as a Christian, Jonathan was able to do that. And that causes people to stumble sometimes. But listen to the text itself. It says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins." And it immediately says, I'm writing so that you don't sin, but I recognize this side of glory, you may sin. You may sin. Terrible. David was a man after God's own heart. But with premeditation and malice aforethought, David killed Bathsheba's husband. And yet he was a man after God's own heart. Christians can violate the law of God. They can do it in terrible ways. And we need to deal with that reality. In fact, if you would just look a verse or two before in 1 John, John says, anyone who says he doesn't sin is a liar. We sin just like John. Even as Christians, we sin. We break the law, thought, word. sometimes in ways that the other people around us don't see us, and they still see us as great, upstanding Christian citizens. Other times it's patently obvious. So Jonathan sinned, he has to stand before the judge, the Father. As a Christian, Jonathan has an advocate, the Father. The Scripture tells us Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jonathan had to stand before the Father, the judge of the whole world. But he has someone as his defense attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the idea of an advocate here. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ present as the reason why the Father should not find him guilty? Well, knowing Jonathan, you might think what the Son does, he pleads temporary insanity. That would happen in a court of law. If Jonathan, instead of taking his own life and taking someone else's life, they might honestly be able to prove that Jonathan was temporarily insane. Jonathan had a mental illness. Jonathan did not suffer depression, as we think of it. Jonathan didn't have problems. Jonathan had a mental illness at which sometimes his brain would just change gears. And he would be going from being a happy, joyful person, at peace with all of us around him, to being paranoid and panicking and not knowing what to do. And there wasn't really much of a rhyme or reason. And in a court of law, you may have been able to get Jonathan off by claiming temporary insanity, for suicide is irrationalism, especially. But to claim temporary insanity would not excuse John before a holy God. Just like none of your excuses for your sin will stand before a holy God. The Lord Jesus Christ does not stand before the Father and say, I know this person's circumstance, and look at all the extenuating circumstances in their life, and that's why they sin. So just let them go this time. Just let them off easy, because all these things were happening in their life. Holy God cannot let someone go. Most extenuating circumstances. So what does John's defense attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ, do? First, he pleads his own righteousness. He says he is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he pleads before the Father his own righteousness, his own obedience to the law of God in Jonathan's stead. The Lord Jesus Christ led a life of perfect obedience to the law of God. But he did it not for himself. He did it for his people. So even though Jonathan had broken the law of God, and even though you and I break the law of God, in Christ, the Father sees only the righteousness of Christ. That's all he sees. He didn't see Jonathan in his sin. He saw the obedience of Christ for him. And he pleads that. He pleads, this man is righteous. The alien righteousness. The imputed righteousness. And then the text also says that he himself is the propitiation for our sins. He pleads also, the Lord Jesus Christ, his own propitiatory sacrifice on Jonathan's behalf. A propitiatory sacrifice is a sacrifice that turns away wrath. The wrath of God, which our sin deserves, and the Son of God, taking Jonathan's place on the cross, had the wrath of God poured out upon him and satisfied. And when the Lord Jesus stands as John's defense attorney, he pleads that, Father, your wrath has already been satisfied. I, Jesus. There is no more wrath to be poured out upon your Son. Is as your Son poured out. That is the Lord Jesus Christ's defense case. And in pointing to his own righteousness that John partook of being united to him, and pointing out his own propitiatory sacrifice, his own death in John's stead, the defense rests. And the Father, for Christ's sake, declares Jonathan not guilty. Not because Jonathan's sin wasn't serious, but because God's grace is greater than the darkness. And the love of Christ is greater in the sins of God's people. And as the scriptures say, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, not even our own sinful actions. We cannot add to the work of Christ in our own obedience. But the same token, as children of God, we cannot subtract from the work of Christ. Our only hope is in Christ. John didn't love his life. That was his prayer, that those of you who loved him would know that. That your hope would be only in Christ. That you would find your righteousness in him, that you would find in payment for your sins, and turning aside with the wrath of God. Christian, John did not only spoke these things to you, that you might be saved from the wrath of God, but he believed in himself. And being united to Christ like you, Jonathan is declared not to be because of the Lord Christ. The Heidelberg Catechism, one of the great catechisms of the Protestant Reformation, asked in its first question, what is our only comfort in life and death? And I would paraphrase for us this morning by saying, what is our only comfort in Jonathan's life and death? And answering the paraphrase, that Jonathan with body and soul, both in life and death, is not his own, but belongs unto his faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who in his precious blood is fully satisfied for all Jonathan's sins, and delivered him from all the power of the devil, and so preserved him, that without the will of his heavenly Father, not a hair fell from his head. Yea, that all things, including his mental illness, were made subservient to his salvation. And therefore, by God's Holy Spirit, he also assures us that Jonathan is eternal life, and henceforth makes us sincerely willing ready to live. What is our hope this day? It was the hope of Jonathan, that Jonathan belonged to his faithful Savior, in life, death, and the resurrection to come. May that be found in your life, in your life, and death as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that body, soul, both in life and death, that Jonathan is not his own, but long in his faithful Savior. We thank you, Father, for the intercession of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who pleading his own righteousness and his own sacrificial death in our stead, will always work out our acquittal before the bar of divine judgment. Will always find us being declared not guilty, not by making excuses for us, but for doing for us that which we could not do, providing for us a perfect righteousness and making satisfaction for us. May the thought that Christ was Jonathan's intercessor bring us comfort, knowing that Jonathan has been declared not guilty and ushered into your presence as a son. May the hope as in Jonathan's heart, we ours also. So we look to Christ alone as our only hope in life. In the name of our Lord, we ask this. This time, the Reverend Salison, Jonathan's pastor for the past few years in the Presbyterian Church, will lead us in another scripture reading into the end of our service.